Hi everyone, I'm Devin Leishman, Marketing and Community Manager at Origin Ventures. Recently, I interviewed Stella Garber, Head of Marketing at project management software startup Trello, which was acquired by Atlassian in 2017. Stella was founder and CEO at Matchist, then sole marketer at Trello, and became a marketing leader as the company grew and was eventually acquired. I've published the main takeaways from our conversation on Origin's blog, but here's the full audio from our interview. Thanks for listening. My first question is that given that Trello sort of does or did, I guess, both B2B and B2C, so yeah. like how do you strategize around marketing those two markets differently?
Well, we actually don't. And I think this has been sort of a theme in my career, because previous to Trello, I worked, I did marketing for a B2B company with payments. Mm-hmm. And the way that I've always approached it is that, humans are humans, and so they have the same motivations and the same interests and the same sort of like psychological nuances. And so even though maybe the tactics and the unit economics might be different depending on which category you're going into, the fundamental like messaging and positioning isn't going to differ too much. So Trello is a very, very unique product and a unique use case. So I always start with that, because if you were going to try to replicate Trello's success and strategy, it would be really difficult, because I think we were uniquely sort of like at the right time in the right space with the right approach, because Trello, we weren't venture-backed for a long time,
right.
And so it sort of allowed us the freedom to not care about a lot of things that early-stage companies have to care about if they want to raise multiple rounds of funding.
Okay, awesome. So you mentioned that, you know, you had this unique product and this unique use case. So do you think that kind of encouraged, you know, this cult following? That's my understanding of sort of how Trello grew. Do you think that was true, that you had this cult following? And if so, like, was that something you actively encouraged?
Yeah, I mean, we, up until Trello was acquired by Atlassian, and even now, we actually don't spend a lot of money on paid advertising or paid marketing. And so it's really interesting, because people are like, well, what do you do with marketing if you're not buying, you know, ads?
Right.
And the reality is that we think about, first and foremost, the Trello brand and the brand offering and the brand promise and brand consistency. And it's really important. When I first came into Trello, there was no marketing.
Right.
Nobody even thought about it. It was just a very popular product that had a set of design principles around like simplicity and being very horizontal. So, you know, most of the time when you come in, a company or a product is built for a very specific use case. And so you can build a set of personas, and you can start to really think about what motivates these buyers and how to get them to engage more deeply with your product, whether that means buying something or, you know, just using the product more consistently. And with Trello, we specifically, and over the last few years, we have shied away from crossing ourselves into certain personas or markets. So we really, I mean, I think if you go on the website right now, it says, you know, organize anything with anyone or lose with perspective, which is sort of like so when I came in, we had to sit down and really dissect, and we brought in a brand strategist and thought about like, what is it about Trello that makes people really excited? How can we carry that sort of like cult-like devotion?
Right.
Like, how can we make that all throughout every touch point that the customer has? And so that's sort of what marketing does. We are the security guards for the brand. We make sure that delight is a big part of Trello. And that's, I think, the hook. And actually, Trello, I think Trello came before Slack. And I think Slack has a lot of the similar things that Trello does, which is why people use them together, and it's very similar, like, brand following. But those, like, little triggers of delight, the colors, we really think about that from a marketing perspective. We also think a lot about how we foment and support the organic growth. What are the channels through which we can get people to engage more deeply with the product?
Yeah.
I think a really great example of that is, like, a lot of times people will use Trello in one specific use case. Like, they'll be like, Trello is my trip planner, or I use Trello to track projects at work. And we have done research, and we know that as soon as we show people, like, other ways that they can use it, they're like, whoa, they have this moment of, like, aha.
Yeah.
And so one of the, and for us, that really supports the virality, because I think a really good example of that is a few years ago, I was talking with someone who worked at Apple, and she was telling me about how they were using Trello at Apple to, you know, do some sort of work thing. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. Like, have you ever tried to use it in your, like, personal life? And she was like, no, like, what do you mean? And just giving her examples from my own life. And a few weeks later, we had, like, a follow-up business call, and she was like, by the way, I've gotten to use Trello in the PTA, and I used it to plan my kid's birthday party. And she was so excited about it, because it was, like, this framework that she was applying to make herself more productive at work. She was doing the same thing in her personal life. So anyways, that's, like, a really great anecdote. But from that kernel of, like, aha moment,
right,
for marketing, we're like, what are all of these opportunities that we can surface these different use cases and delight people and make them see that they can spread Trello into other areas of their lives?
For sure. Yeah. So a couple follow-ups on that. That was an awesome anecdote. So in terms of, like, you talked about sort of building all these touch points and, you know, making people notice these triggers of delight. So how much of that, I guess, is being intentional about building the product, right? Versus how much of that is, like, trying to spread the word of mouth and, you know, like, find these evangelists and really push on the marketing side? Is it both? Is it one or the other?
It's the same.
Okay.
I think that the one of the things that I really learned and leaned into a lot is the idea of product marketing.
Okay.
Where you have marketing as a key stakeholder in any product decision here. Product conversations, because those, I think marketing in a lot of areas is separated, and similar to sales, a lot of times sales and marketing tend to be separate from the core product function. And I think that's awful, because if the people who are building the product, if they don't have an evangelist for the customer or the voice of the customer, which is what marketing sales provides, then how do they know that they're building the right things? So at Trello, we have a very strong product marketing mindset. We are constantly thinking about, like, if a feature request comes in, there's a whole, like, you know, product conversation around what is the problem that these people are having, how can we solve that in the product? But there's also a really strong conversation around, like, how do we make sure that we're educating the customer in our marketing materials? Is this a case of them maybe just not understanding how to use the product? Do we need to update our, like, user guide? Do we need to write a blog post about this? Do we need to surface this information in the app? So I think it's a very bad mistake, especially for a company like Trello is super product driven. If a company wants to be super product driven, the marketing needs to be a key stakeholder.
Cool. Yeah. You often hear product marketing and sort of the hybrid between those two. And I feel like that doesn't necessarily in startups get, I feel like it's often, in my experience, totally siloed. So I think that's important.
Yeah. Interesting thing, because at startups, it when you are the only marketing person, which,
right,
I've been in,
yeah,
my career many times,
yeah,
you do everything. So there's no distinction between, like, what is product marketing,
right,
what is email marketing, what. But, like, that's one thing that I've learned. So my team is now, like, over Well, for people who touch travel marketing, it's probably close to 20 people. And so now that we're part of, we're in a much bigger organization, there are those like labels and sort of like silos, which, you know, whole other problem set. But, you know, in the beginning, there shouldn't be that distinction at all.
Okay. So that kind of leads me to another question. So in being the only marketing person, I'm kind of drawing parallels between, you know, that and your experience as a founder. So do you find that there's overlap, and, you know, did being a founder inform being the only marketing person?
Well, it's like, I think I've been either a founder or at Trello. When I joined, I was like the marketing person who was on the executive team.
Right.
And so like, it's sort of, you know, when you're a founder, you have to think about everything. Or, you know, if you have a co-founder or founding team, you sort of think about everything, and then you have your area where you go deep, which has always been marketing for me.
Yeah.
At Trello, and when I've been on the executive team, it's just, I think there's less that you need to worry about. You know, when you're a founder, it's like you can't really sleep at night.
Sure, sure.
Or like, you just, there's just constantly something coming up.
Right.
I think when you join a, you know, part of a leadership team at a company that's a little bit more established, the heartburn is a little bit different.
Yeah. Okay. So sort of related question, but, you know, we talked about at the very top, you know, this is like your office, right? This Zoom space.
Yeah.
So How do you manage like a remote and a dispersed team? You know, did it take a while to figure out this is the best way to do it, or how did you get to this point?
Yeah, so I've actually worked remotely for most of my career, mostly because like I've worked in offices too, but it's mostly just been about getting as much work done as possible. And I've always found that being surrounded by other humans and being like a very social human myself, I'm not as productive. And I think that that's the case for most people, which is why you see a lot of people like working during the day and then they have to work at night because they're not, you know, or I see a lot of like people who work from home on the days that they actually need to get work done.
Right.
And what the hell are you doing in the office if you're not getting work done?
Exactly.
So anyway, to answer your question, so when I joined Trello, And Trello was based in New York, and the rest of the team, for the most part, was based in New York. And I was like, hey, I'm in Chicago. Like, I'm not moving.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Pryor, who's the CEO, was like, okay, we'll give it a try. Like, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I think at that point, we already had maybe like one or two other remote employees.
And what year was that, just to ground us?
2014.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Almost 4 years ago.
Okay.
And it was great. I mean, when you work at a project management, a company that builds a tool that helps people stay on top of projects, there is an innate, I guess, structure that you're going to be doing. And so we found actually that building, I would say, Trello, once we were acquired, we had scaled to about 100, I want to say maybe between 100 and 120 people.
Mm-hmm.
And like 60 to 70% were remote. And what we found was we were able to hire way more easily
for
to
sure.
hire
yeah.
really talented people. Attrition was much lower because people were really excited about both the tool and the company, but also the ability to work wherever they wanted and the inherent trust that comes with that. And I think in a management capacity, you just have to have a very results-oriented mindset and a system of tools that you use that sort of mimic what's going on in a physical office digitally. So for example, you know, Slack, and now we use Stride, which is Atlassian's chat tool, is really important. It's like the chatterbox, the water cooler. It's where people talk about their weekends and also discuss like what's going on. But then we use Trello to make sure that we're tracking all of the projects and all of our goals. We use the OKR framework each quarter, which we've used for a couple of years now, to make sure that the goals that we're setting for our team are spreading up to the company goals. And other than that, like, it's not hard. I mean, I think that trust, I honestly hear what the objections are to remote work, because we're living in an environment, or I'm working in an environment where we have the same sort of setup, and I would say superior results. A lot of research has shown that people who work remotely are more productive and are happier.
Yeah.
I'm definitely more productive and definitely more happy.
Yeah.
We have a few times during the year where everyone comes together and we like hang out and we do brainstorming and like get the FaceTime in.
Sure.
But I don't think that that's necessary on a daily basis to be successful, and we've certainly proven that.
Yeah. No, I agree. Especially if you're doing video calls like this, I feel like, you know, it's essentially the same thing, right?
It's the same thing.
Yeah, right.
It's so much better too, because we actually have an Atlassian. Atlassian is more of an office-based culture, mm-hmm. and so the people, we find that the people who are joining us from conference rooms are always late.
Right, yeah.
Trying to get around.
Right.
They're like frazzled. They're like, they can't do as many meetings in a day if they need to.
Right.
Like, yesterday, I had 12 meetings.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, I don't recommend that.
I was going to say, for any situation, that's not great.
But it's also like, bam, 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 bam. In terms of productivity, it's like,
yeah.
I don't know how you would do that in an office.
Totally. Yeah, no, it would be tough. Plus, you got to commute and stuff. I'm with you.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't.
Exactly.
Like, there's all of these things that there was a tweet the other day where it was like, spending an hour in your car to get to an office to work 9 to 5 and another hour on the way home is not the way humans will work in the future.
Right, right.
It's like, yeah. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Absolutely.
And I don't understand the objection, especially at a smaller company.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, I think at scale, and Atlassian is a 3,000, well, I think we're about 2,500 people.
Right.
And we have a lot of offices around the world, and we also have a bunch of remote workers.
Yeah.
And so I think at a company of that size and bigger, the challenges that you run into, you know, there's not as much... It's just harder. Like, the more people you have, the more complexity. But we scaled it to about 120 people, and like, we ran into issues and problems, and we solved them as a leadership team. But like, it was probably the same, if not less, than being in an office.
Sure, yeah. Cool. So, couple follow-ups based on that last section. So. One is, you know, any stories or anecdotes about, like, you know, the remote culture not working, or, you know, sort of, you know, maybe it's people not being a fit. I just, you know, it's...
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely, I think you have to, our hiring process is also remote.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think and we also make sure that people do projects and sort of simulate the remote working experience.
Yeah.
We definitely had a situation where it didn't work out. But I always say, I think if you have the processes set up to support remote work, for example, I'll give you a good example that people don't think a lot about, which is like the social time.
Sure.
You have to create like social time.
Yeah.
So on my team, for example, we have these bi-weekly, we call them jam sessions, where everyone just like gets a beer and like we play Two Truths and a Lie or something lame like that. But it's really fun.
Yeah, sure.
We also do that company-wide, so we have a monthly remote Trellis meetup. We have, which is like everyone just hanging out and chit-chatting. Usually there's a theme around it. We have a monthly town hall where we go over, you know, what's going on with Trello, and then at the end of it for like 20, 30 minutes, we get randomly, Zoom has this awesome feature called breakout rooms.
Yeah.
So you get automatically put into a room of like 5 or 6 people, and then you just like shoot the shit.
Cool, yeah.
And I think that when you are working remotely, you don't have that like bumping into someone in the hallway and talking to them.
Okay.
So you just have to create opportunities for that to happen.
Yeah.
We also have like specific stride channels, like, we have a music channel where people are like, this is what I'm listening to do today.
Totally.
We have one, a travel channel where people ask for travel suggestions. We just have a general off-topic one where often people talk about what mattress, for some reason, this Casper mattress thing is like a thing that comes up a lot in the Trello team.
Huh.
It's like a running joke now.
Yeah.
So we have such a strong culture. Everyone respects each other a lot, and a lot of that comes from this baseline of trust that you have to have if you're working remotely.
Okay, cool. So I'm just going to kind of jump around in these last 5 minutes or so. So you had mentioned briefly sort of putting on, making sure the marketing team's aligned, you know, putting in this OKR framework. Like,
yeah,
I guess, like, when does that happen in the scaling process? Are there, like, inflection points you've identified, or like when, I guess?
I mean, I think that there's an inflection point. When I joined Trello, we were like 18 people,
yeah,
and everything, there was just like regular startup, like that. We would plan sort of, we'd have like a leadership offsite every quarter and just some planning.
Sure.
It also really depends on the personality of the founder. Our Michael is like a super product oriented guy who doesn't like to plan a lot. So it, for me, it was kind of difficult because I'm very much like a type A planner.
Sure.
I think probably once we hit 50 people, there was an inflection point where we needed to inject a lot of process, both into like, I think we might have started doing quarterly planning at that point. We did a lot of PR. PR was a really big lever for Trello, and in order to do PR, you have to sort of coordinate on launch timelines for. So that was a forcing function for our product team to be more like planning oriented. I would say around 75 people, we had another inflection point, and then around 100 people, we probably started doing the OKR framework across the team. My team started doing the OKR framework when we were like maybe 7 or 8 people.
Okay.
Just because before that, we had been doing monthly goals, and it was just too fast, and it wasn't, it didn't give a lot of breathing room.
Yeah.
And so we were like, we want to do something that's a little bit more, that gives us more time. And we actually now do, my team does annual OKRs, and so does Trello. And so the marketing team has an annual, the Trello team has an annual, and then Atlassian has annual OKRs. And then we used to do them quarterly, but then we were like, holy shit, this is way too many OKRs. I want to kill myself.
Right.
So now we do them just twice a year.
Okay. All right.
So I think, you sort of fluctuate between, and I think it's in the earlier days of the startup, you're like, no process, too much process,
mm-hmm.
happy medium.
Exactly.
And the different personalities of like the leadership team push it in different directions.
Totally, totally, yeah. All right, so just these last three are just sort of grab bag questions.
Yeah.
If you don't have an answer, that's fine.
Okay.
You'll see what I mean. So what's the most common marketing mistake you see companies make?
I'm trying to do too much, and then calling failure before they've had a chance to really dive deep into a channel.
Okay. A channel, so you're saying specifically like, oh, like we should push paid Facebook or whatever, or like just broadly like, oh, like we're going to use Trello as a team, you know, project management, and then nobody buys in. It's like, all right, that's a failure. Let's
move on. Okay, Mark, we're gonna turn marketing on. Let's do social media, paid ads, SEO, all these things.
For sure.
And then they do it for a quarter, and they're like, marketing's not working.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Cool.
I see that a lot, which is like.
Yeah, it's should probably give it a little bit more time to grow there. So okay, so on a similar vein, talk to me about a tactic, like specifically to marketing, that you've used recently that got better results than you were expecting. Something that was unexpectedly positive, if you're willing to share.
Oh, I'm always willing to share. Let me think. Something that was more positive than thought. We did a bunch of influencer marketing this year.
Yeah.
One thing that we did that wasn't, I didn't think it was that great, we spent a bunch of money on YouTube influencers through an agency.
Okay.
It was okay, but it wasn't, the cost per evaluation, their CPE, that's what we look at.
Sure.
Compared to other products was good, but compared to Trello's crazy organic growth wasn't great. A little bit later in the year, actually even right now, we're running a campaign that's all about using Trello in different ways. And we actually, our content team reached out to a bunch of influencers and had them write blog posts and we corralled all of those blog posts into our own blog and sent it out as a newsletter. We got much more engagement on that than we thought,
yeah.
Which is funny because I think it's something I've seen a lot in my career is that the things that are paid don't necessarily end up having better, bigger results than just trying to do stuff on your own.
Okay.
So, you know, some of the more hustly mentality stuff, which is like my forte,
right.
I've continued to do into a more mature marketing strategy, and yeah, it has been really great.
Okay, awesome, cool. That was the exact type of answer I was hoping for. So, final question. So, you know, having all the knowledge you have now and knowing what you know now, if you could tell yourself, I don't know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, right as you were starting your career, what advice would you say? What would you tell yourself to focus on more or less?
Like marketing-wise or career-wise?
I guess more career-wise, but if you have really tactical marketing things, sure.
Yeah. I would tell myself to like chill out, probably.
Okay. Love it.
I mean, you know, when you have a lot of goals and are high achieving, things don't seem to move fast enough.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've learned over my time at Trello is that success is it takes a long time. It takes longer than you think it does, and it is a lot of building relationships with people and building trust. And so investing in people and relationships and giving yourself time to grieve without putting pressure on yourself. I wish I could do that. If I had told myself that 5 years ago, I probably wouldn't have listened.
Good to know. That's you know what, I can identify with that a little bit. So I think it's good advice.
Chill out, man. Everything's gonna be okay.
Good to hear. I like that.